Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
5-1 the final, Bruins over the Sabres. We welcome you here to the press box. I'm Brian Colziel. Rough night for the Sabres and their fans. Was a festive atmosphere, at least in here to start. People excited about the holiday. Buffalo came out with a nice first 10 minutes, got a goal, led for at least a few minutes in the game, but it was all downhill the rest of the way. Aaron Dell in net struggling, didn't make it out of the end of the first. Dustin Tokarski the rest of the way, only surrendered one, but it ends up a 5-1 Bruins final. The shot totals nearly 2-1. It was 47-25, and as you heard Rob Ray say at the end of the broadcast, that's the season high in shots against for the Sabres, 47. Boston looks very good. Don't be fooled by where the Bruins are in the standings. They've got five games, well, they came into the night with five games in hand on the teams in front of them, Detroit, Toronto. They're good. They were pretty much what we have been seeing from this Bruins team. They have the best line in hockey still with Bergeron and Marchand and Pasternak, and of course they're involved tonight too. And the rest of their team, maybe not as deep as they have been in other years, but still very good. And they get a nice night from Jeremy Swayman, although maybe not tested as often maybe as the Sabres would have liked. Just three shots in the third, and the Sabres fall 5-1. Coming up on the post game, we'll be heading to the media room in just a few moments. We'll get some player reaction to this as the Sabres fall by four, and also Don Granato's postgame comments. That's all coming up. Let's, though, get you through the highlights, and they are brought to you by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken fingers. Well, most of the goals, other than one, coming in the first period, so that's where we'll take you here first. 10:56 mark. A nice shot from the circle after Dell made a save on the other end from Kyle Okposo, and Buffalo has the early lead.
Well, Bergeron knocking down his shot. Here's a 2-on-1. The shot right on. Dell makes the save. And that was close. Bruins with a 2-on-1 walking in there. Okposo coming back again. He fires. Goal! So doesn't miss that, baby. He zips it home. 1-0 Buffalo.
A nice play from Okposo after the nice save from Dell on Pasternak. He shot the puck through Bergeron's legs and then eventually by Swayman into the net. 1-0 Sabres just past the halfway point of the first. And it seemed like all was good for the Sabres, but that was pretty much the last good thing that happened tonight. So why not? We'll call that the play of the game. Brought to you by Seneca Sports Lounge. You can bet on Buffalo with Seneca Resorts and Casinos. All Bruins the rest of the way. 13:29 mark just a few minutes later after Okposo scored. The Bruins tied it. Lots of players in the crease. The loose puck is on the stick of Patrice Bergeron, and he ties it at one.
Holding it in there with a quick shot. They score. It's knocked down in front of the net. And the rebound. They scored on the rebound. The second rebound, as a matter of fact. And the Bruins have come back to tie it up here in this opening period as Mr. Bergeron, Patrice Bergeron, is the one to pick up the puck and tap it home.
His seventh of the season from Marchand and Pasternak, 1-1 the score. Less than a minute later, Bruins at it again. They take their first lead and the lead for good. A shot into the top corner from Charlie Coyle, his sixth of the year.
It's going to be brought right back in again and fired in around behind the net by Forbert. Boston stealing the puck with a shot. They score! short side up high, and the Bruins quickly have a 2-1 lead as Charlie Coyle is the one who lets it rip.
14-20 mark, his sixth of the season. Foligno the assist, 2-1 Boston. About 2.5 minutes later, they're on the power play, the Bruins are, and this one-time blast from Pasternak gets by Aaron Dell, finds the back of the net.
Bruins holding it in again. Slip back to the point. Over to Pasternak, they score! He finally got a chance, and he found the short side and ripped it in the corner on the power play, and the Bruins have a 3-1 lead.
Power play goal for Pasternak, his sixth of the season. Dell just very slow to get across on that one. McAvoy, Bergeron, the assists. 3-1 Bruins, and 2:01 later, Bruins adding another one. This time it's Riley, his second of the season.
Comes back to the point again. Another blast. That's knocked down. The rebound. They score. Buried by Mike Riley, who moved up from the point into the empty net. And the Bruins, with 1 minute remaining on the clock exactly, have a 4-1 lead.
Riley's second from Foligno. Made it a 4-1 Bruins lead. That was the score after one period of play. Into the second we go, and Sabres had some great pressure to start the period. Eventually even got a penalty shot. John Hayden unable to score, though, as he was stopped by Swayman. And then into the third, the tough night for the Sabres continue. The Bruins at one point were out shooting the Sabres 13-0. Buffalo didn't get their first shot until the 9:44 mark, nearly the halfway point. Then Gergensens goes for boarding. He gets a game misconduct, which I didn't have any problem with. I thought that was the right call. I don't want to see guys getting hit up along the boards with their head going into the glass, so I thought the correct call. And then, of course, the man that's getting booed all night, Taylor Hall, he gets the last laugh on the power play and the last goal of the game.
Bruins looking for another goal with a man advantage. Coyle picks it up again. Coyle walks on and then elects to go to the corner again. He couldn't get anybody. Flipped it out in front of the net. There's Hall's shot. Whoa, what a rocket shot that was. 5-1 Boston.
Hall's fifth of the year, Smith and Coyle the assists. 5-1 Boston. That's your final. Those are your highlights, and we're ready to head to the media room. Here's Sabre forward Kyle Oposo, now live with the media.
We're going to start with Lance.
Hey, Kyle. I mean, when you're down 3 goals, how difficult is it to just get to your game when you guys are facing a deficit like that at that point in the game?
I thought we got to our game well in the second. We went in after the first and regrouped, and I thought we did do a pretty good job getting to our game in the second. Obviously, the third wasn't good the way that we came out, but we regrouped well in the second, I thought.
What was the message during the intermission that led to you guys sort of getting back on track there?
Well, we just talked about playing our game, and, you know, we're playing a veteran team over there that isn't going to stray away from their game, that whether they're up 4-1, down 4-1, doesn't matter the score, they're going to play the same way. And we knew that. We knew that, we needed to get more pucks to the net and spend more time in the offensive zone, just get it behind them. And, you know, we did that for the second period. Give our guys credit for that. Losing you.
Sorry. Kyle, this is like the fourth straight game you've given up multiple goals over a 5-6 minute stretch. Just, I mean, what are those a product of? And are you just stunned? You can't get a handle on that kind of thing?
Tonight was a product of them just shooting everything. I think they made it a point, especially in the first and third, to just throw everything at the net and then crash. And, we just didn't do a good enough job clearing the second opportunities, and they were able to cash in on that. And the best way to eliminate that is spending more time in the ozone, and we just didn't do it enough in the latter half of the first period, and in the third especially.
Kyle, when you came down on the wing for your goal, did you realize you were up against Bergeron, because you set him up perfectly for the screen?
Yeah, I knew it was him. I was going to cut across originally, and then I saw that it was Bergeron, so I wanted to stay on that side of the ice and, just tried to, whenever you got a forward back there, you just try and make him uncomfortable and You know, he's one of the best defensive players in the world, but he doesn't play defense, so he's not going to be natural going backwards.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yep.
Okay, there is Sabre forward Kyle Laposo. Buffalo falling tonight by a 5-1 score. Not much rest for the Sabres. Off tomorrow in terms of game action. The whole league is off tomorrow in terms of game action. But then Friday and Saturday, back-to-back, home and away, travel in there too. Montreal will be here next on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and then the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit on Saturday at 7. And then the Sabres play home on Monday against Seattle. So just, you know, off Sunday in terms of game action and then right back at it. So it is a time right now for them not to have much rest. This is their busiest week of the season. 5 games in 7 days. And then, of course, Seattle coming up again on Monday. And then they'll go on a road trip to take on Florida and Carolina to start December. But this is a tough stretch and a tough time to have your number one goaltender out right now. Craig Anderson still labeled as week to week and haven't gotten any update anytime soon. No sign of him even skating or anything like that. So for those that weren't thrilled about Aaron Dell tonight, I wasn't. I know I talked to Paul Hamilton about it during the intermission. He disagreed with the decision. If you didn't hear it earlier today when Don Granato announced that Dell would start, he said that he thought Tchaikarski's confidence maybe wasn't sharp at the moment or wasn't where it needed to be. Kind of paraphrasing here. Tchaikarski, we know, is not a number one NHL goalie, but I don't think I'm being a genius here by saying that I think he's definitely a better option than Dell. He had one bad game. I mean, he didn't play well in his last outing, but I thought, you know, you're coming back here with him. You've been home. There's no travel. Put him back in, see if he can get that. Even if there was a little confidence thing, like, all right, let him get his confidence back. Now, he played great tonight in the second and the third for whatever that's worth while the game was essentially over at that point, while it was a 4-1 Bruins lead throughout most of the second and most of the third before Hall made it 5-1. But, listen, I hate harping because I feel like I'm picking on Aaron Dell. Look, he's not an NHL goalie. I don't know if he ever will be, but he's just not. And that doesn't mean that he's not a good goalie or that being an AHL-level goalie isn't something that he should be proud of or that is anything to be snark about, but just he just doesn't give them really any good chance to win right now as the Sabres just continue to not get good goaltending. Now, it cost them with goals, but tonight they obviously only scored one, so it didn't really matter. Back to the room now, John Hayden speaking live to the media.
I feel like I was still getting up off the ice by the time they made that decision.
Well, as you came down, have you ever had a penalty shot in the NHL before?
That was my first.
Hey, John, with how good the Bruins are defensively, when you're facing a deficit like that, I mean, what do they do to really just limit your chances when they are able to maybe sit back a little bit more and they're not taking as many of those, you know, chances of their own to try to start their offense?
I think the difference is more about us. Probably half of the game, we played hard and we had a ton of chances. We made hard plays when we needed to and creative plays when the opportunity was there. When we got away from that is when they put us on our heels. So I thought there was resilience in the game. It was pretty evident, but competitive team, a lot of competitive guys are happy about the results the last few games, and it's going to come down to consistency.
John, how does this last two games, how does it snowball so fast? It was 3 goals in 3:17. The other game tonight, it was 4 and 5:31. But then that's basically it. Other than the power play goal right at the end, how does it snowball so fast on you guys?
Yeah, again, like I said, I think it's really about consistency. We have stretches in the game where we are predictable for our teammates, make the right plays, and when we get away from that, players in this league are good enough to take advantage. And eliminating those lapses will definitely lead to wins for us.
Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you.
John Hayden there. Had the penalty shot at 9:22 of the second. Could have been maybe a spark for the Sabres, but Swayman stopped him. It remained 4-1, and it eventually a 5-1 final. All right, we're going to, at this point, say goodbye to our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the post game, go to WGR550.com. Final score, Boston 5, Buffalo 1. If you're leaving us now, have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you Friday night here with Buffalo and Montreal. And for all of you on our flagship in Buffalo, when we come back, we'll have Don Granato's post-game comments. We'll update you on the standings as we roll on here from KeyBank Center. 5-1 Bruins. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Welcome back to KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel here with you. Quiet now. Everyone has left the building. It's a couple of Zambonis out on the ice. However, my eyes thought there were more people in the building tonight, and they would have been correct. Not by an incredible amount, but the highest announced attendance of the season tonight at KeyBank Center. 9,000. First time that it's been over 9,416. I was saying in pregame that the Thanksgiving Eve game for me is usually one of, if not the favorite games on the schedule. I just, at this point, normally the season is not over in terms of the standings. You know, in most years, again, obviously, you know, these last few years have been so different. But back in the day when, you know, the Sabres were normally in contention, like they were right in the thick of whatever the race was at that time. And you got friends and family from in and out of town, or everybody's making plans to go to the game, whether you're going out before the game, after the game, obviously anticipating the day off, and one of my favorite days of the year tomorrow with a big meal and some football. And, you know, obviously it sets up for a great night. The atmosphere was rocking. When we used to do the post-game shows over at 716 or the pre-games, I mean, it was always buzzing, and the arena atmosphere was always great. And unfortunately, just the buildup for games this year for the variety of reasons that we know, whether and I don't have to go through all these, but we know there's a variety of reasons as to why there's a lot of empty seats here. The Sabres play is obviously a big reason why, too. It lacked a little buzz coming down here tonight. Even normally, I feel like this is a huge night for traffic, Pat. It just was a little easier getting down here. I was, in some sense, hoping. I was thinking, like, well, maybe tonight it'll be almost full. Maybe there'll just be a lot of people that'll just want to come see a game from being in town.
Maybe Friday could be different.
Montreal and the border restrictions different.
Yeah, now, if correct me if I'm wrong, but Friday is when, if you're here for less than 72 hours, you do not have to test.
That's correct.
Maybe a main reason why we have not seen many of our friends from across the border yet. So their first chance to come to a game, maybe their first chance to see the Canadiens in 2 years, and ticket prices are not overly expensive, even with the exchange rate. So I'm expecting a pretty good crowd Friday.
Yeah, I think we'll eclipse that 94-16 number that we saw here today.
And how many times in the last couple of years, pre-COVID-19, did we see those Friday games played in the afternoon against Montreal and Toronto? And
we have a 4 o'clock game, I think,
yeah.
That time, yeah. Yeah, I'd be okay with a 4 o'clock game, but it is 7. This is a really tough stretch for the Sabres, but these two games on either side of Thanksgiving, like, I just remembered. I feel like there was a Flyers game in there when, again, this is back when the Sabres were good, where it was like 4-0 after the first period. The building just, it was so good. Being downtown around the arena on nights around, like, Thanksgiving, I just thought, like, this was as good as it got during the regular season for me.
It felt like a party
in
here. Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, it just, we're not to that point yet, and hopefully we will be when this game rolls around next year, when more people are in town and whatever it is. But yeah, over 9,000 tonight. Maybe we'll see an uptick in the crowd more consistently. Now, Seattle comes to town for the first time ever, so maybe some fans want to see the Kraken as an expansion franchise on Monday. So I'd be interested to see what the crowd start to look like the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Still, as we said, 2 more home games in November. You mentioned Montreal and then Seattle. There'll be a road game on Saturday in Detroit. And for those complaining tonight, as I was mentioning before we got to the John Hayden interview, about what to do with the goaltending situation. Like, you might see Arundel again. The Sabres have back-to-back with travel Friday and Saturday, Montreal and Detroit. Lukanen hasn't been stellar down in Rochester. He had a good week, but His numbers aren't great. They did get a win tonight against Utica, who's been very good in, I think, the best AHL team so far.
Yeah.
So maybe Lukanen is an option for Saturday. It's just Dell tonight just doesn't give you a chance to win. The Sabres probably were not going to win tonight, even if Tokarski plays and plays well. Maybe even if Anderson is in and plays well, because Buffalo scored one. But all the games previously where you score four against Columbus, four against the Rangers, four against the Leafs, and you can't even get any of those to overtime, a lot of that because of bad defense or bad goaltending or the combination of both. Like, if you're Buffalo, you get four, like, you got to at least get a point when this night's over.
This is where the front office and the coaching staff earn their money, in my mind, going back to the goaltending point. Do you stunt the growth, or do you think you're going to stunt the growth of UPL by potentially bringing him up for one game, if that's an option? I don't even know if that's an option, but if it is, do you think it benefits him positively or negatively by playing in one of those games over the weekend as a better option than maybe Aaron Dell? No, do you just play one game and go back to Rochester? Like, those are all things that, look, I think, and Kevin Adams addressed this with you and Paul about a week ago, it's not a one-size-fits-all situation for prospects, goaltenders especially. What's good for one player isn't necessarily good for the other. So that's where I would err on the side of, what does the front office think in terms of UPL and where he's at in his game? Do they think he needs to just play in Rochester for another month or two, or a majority of this season, and then see where the Sabres goaltending is at come the trading deadline, maybe just throwing a date out there? That's where I think the conversation to me would be right now with Kevin Adams, with Don Granato, and the coaches in Rochester as well.
Yeah, I guess I just don't.
I know what you're saying.
I don't want this season, and when I say this, like, get away from you, I don't want anybody to think, like, I'm thinking this team's making the playoffs. I don't.
Right.
Now, after they got off to a good start, I was like, hey, they're playing a lot better than maybe I thought they would. What I don't want this season to be about is just a barreling down the mountain, uncontrollable, just loss after loss after loss, where you're sitting here saying, you know, like, is this franchise able to ever dig itself out of a hole? I think Don Granato's doing a lot of good things, mm-hmm. and there's a group here with Cousins and Mittelstadt and Thompson and Still Dahlin and Joki Haru and others along those lines and Soon Tuck. And I think the positive vibe, attitude sort of thing that we're getting under Don Granato, like, I want that to not necessarily wear off so much because there's just so much losing
right.
happening. I don't – obviously, winning to be in a race would be incredible for us to talk about and be a part of, but I'm really not thinking that that's a realistic expectation. So the goaltending situation to me, like, is Craig Anderson going to be out for – they're labeling him week to week. I mean, if they think it's going to be closer to a month-to-month thing, like, then you're in a tough spot. Because I see fans saying, well, make a trade. Well, if you're going to make a trade for a goalie and give up anything of worth, then you're almost saying that, well, we don't believe that UPL is going to be the next guy here within the next month, two, three. And I don't want that to be the case. And if you're saying, well, don't give up anything for him, trade a sixth rounder, well, then Tokarski is probably better than that guy anyway.
Or is Aaron Dell better than the guy you're
right.
going to acquire? And I think that's the question is,
yeah.
you know, if Craig Anderson's going to be out for a while, Dustin Tokarski is going to be your number one goaltender. It's those games that Tokarski would have played as the number two behind Craig Anderson, where on a night like tonight, where Kyle Oposo scores early and you've got the momentum and look, a lot of those goals, maybe, you know, the Sabres just got barraged by Boston and after their first goal. So there may have been a couple of situations where Dell, you know, just it got away from the team, not just him. But if you make a save, if you come up with that incredible save and keep it a 1-1 game or keep it 1-0 at the time, maybe the Sabres are able to pull themselves out of that hole. And that's kind of what we saw from Craig Anderson and Tokarski over the first month or so of the season.
When the Sabres started 5-1-1 and beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I was sitting there saying, wow, the part that we thought would be the by far weakest part of this team was goaltending is winning them games. That was when Anderson sprinkling a little Tokarski in there was working so well. And then they go out west. It doesn't go so well. Anderson gets hurt on the trip, and now they've been treading water, and now it feels like they're sinking. And I just – the sinking piece is the part that I just want to avoid, because I think Don Granato is doing a very good job. I think he's the right man to try to change what has been going on in that room, which is a culture of losing for sure. And I think he's got these young guys on board. I think for the most part, I know tonight's maybe not the greatest example. I'm going to look foolish saying this, but for the most part, they've played with some pizzazz and some energy. They haven't lost a lot of games on nights where we're sitting there saying, oh my God, this team doesn't play for its coach. Like, I would say it's the opposite. So I just don't want it to get so many in a row here that you lose 11 of 13 and then you lose another 7 of 8. And then you're sitting here and then players are tuning out the coach and here's the spiral and here we go again. Like, I feel like there's something there with Granato, and I just feel like for the players' sake that and Granato's sake that I don't want it to get so far out of control that they lose what I think is something good in there.
I thought the second period they played pretty well. They just couldn't score. Yeah. And now that, I mean, you know, you've got to put the results up. So it doesn't matter if you have a good period and don't score. But that's I think, a product of the Sabres still being a young team. And I hate to keep going back to it, but they're still learning. And, yes, Don Granato, I think, along with you, I think he is the right guy for this situation, for this team. And we saw it last year when he took over for Ralph Kruger. And you're right, the goaltending, you know, if Craig Anderson is going to be out a while, it could be one of the reasons why they continue this kind of just stuck in neutral and not picking up wins, because you've been getting contributions from players that maybe you didn't expect to be on the score sheet as much. Zemgus Girgensons, who played very well over the first month of the year. Kyle Oposo's, fifth goal this season tonight. He's performing well, and you'll get Mittelstadt back. You're going to get Tuck, as you mentioned. So you're going to get scoring, but, the goaltending is no doubt probably the weakest link right now.
Yeah, we've been mentioning the injury to Anderson, still officially listed as week-to-week. The injury report brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. 5-1 Boston over Buffalo. We're expecting Don Granato here, but for some reason he's maybe held up a little bit longer. Maybe we'll find out why. Buffalo's loss tonight in regulation drops them to 7-10-2. 16 points. They are in sixth out of the eight teams in the Atlantic. The Sabres still 4 points better than Montreal, and Montreal's played two more games than Buffalo. And then Ottawa really struggling as of late. They're 4-11-1. They have 9 points. But Buffalo will get Montreal. And then the team that is ahead of them, Detroit, who has 19 points on Friday and Saturday here. So a chance. You win them both, you could be in fifth place. And, again, I'm not sitting here saying that I'm expecting this team to make the playoffs, but it would be nice that they can stick in what would be the group of teams that aren't eliminated so fast, Pat, because we've seen that happen so often here.
Right. You go from 5-1-1 to 7-10-2. I mean, it's quickly spiraling away from you. Where, yes, are playoffs realistic? Probably with this team right now, probably not. But every year there's a team that comes out of nowhere, and with the way the Sabres started, they could have maybe put themselves on that trajectory, but with the way they've played since going out west and winning the first game but then losing the next three, and it's continued from there, you've taken yourself out of that conversation for the moment. You'd have to go on a streak here really soon to maybe put yourself back in of people looking at you saying they may have something there. You just don't know. There's always one team every year.
Yeah. I think in terms of the timeline of this, get me to the end of January where maybe they're still mathematically in the discussion, which means you got December and January to play because you've got the 3-week Olympic break where they don't play. They play February 1st and then out again until February 25th. It's 24 days off. You still come back then with two full months of hockey. I'd like that to not be just essentially meaningless in terms of the standings.
I mean, you talk about Detroit, and you look back at the game that was played here, the first game after the Western swing, where the Sabres had the lead going into the third period, late in the third period, and then Tyler Bertuzzi scores twice late in the third and gets it to overtime. and then the Red Wings score in overtime. It's the Sabres had a 3-1 lead with almost 7 minutes left in the game and lose in overtime. Those are points there where you take two from Detroit, you don't let them get any. Those are the games when you look back over the course of 82 games. You say, I know the Sabres stole 2 points in Pittsburgh, so maybe that's where it evened out. But you had a chance against the team right in front of you. And if you want to pass teams like that, you've got to hold on to those leads. And those are some of the games in this stretch that the Sabres have seemed to find themselves in a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of the Olympic break, today the USA Hockey revealed their uniforms. You and I love to discuss jerseys in all facets. We love to discuss the jersey combos. What color should the Bills wear this week? We love looking at hockey sweaters. You and I will even debate the golfers and their outfits. I'm gonna let you go here, but let's just say we weren't thrilled of what USA Hockey put out there today.
The word I'll use is underwhelmed. And I think part of it, too, is, look, in the Olympics, you can't use corporate logos. Or so for Team USA, that you have to just go USA on the front. The advantage Team Canada has when they unveiled theirs yesterday, they can go with the maple leaf, an iconic, you know, symbol for Canada, instead of just putting the word mark of the country across the front. But yeah, definitely, you know, whether it's jerseys from the 80s, stuff from the 90s that looks so good for so many years. One of my favorites is even when when Team USA didn't perform well in Nagano. Those are some of my favorite uniforms from my time of watching it. And unfortunately, you go back to Pyeongchang 4 years ago and out of Beijing now, and the uniforms have just been a little bit underwhelming.
The traditional look, the diagonal USA going down from, you know, upper shoulder to lower waist, like on a diagonal there, that's just still the best look with the traditional royal blue and red and white here along the way. Well, Don Granato, we were expecting him.
When you, Brian, you
don't know if we're going to get him or not here.
You mentioned the Olympics, yeah. But there has been some talk, and I think it has died down a lot. A lot of the insiders brought it up last week when Ottawa went on a 3-game pause. The NHL does have an opt-out in terms of if there is a team or teams that go on a COVID pause and too many games have to be shuffled in the schedule, there's still a chance. I don't know that it's a good chance, but there's still a chance that the NHL does not go to Beijing in February and that 3-week break becomes more of a regular schedule and you're kind of filling in the pieces along the way. So I don't think we're anywhere close to that, but I think it is something to keep an eye on. I think January 10th was the opt-out date, but there are other options, the NHL, monetary options. If for some reason there is a situation, I bring it up because the Islanders have had a rash of players going on the COVID-19 list recently, and there was some talk today of would they not play against the Rangers. The game was played. There is no pause for them, but it is something to keep an eye on as we get closer, still a couple of months away from February, but just something to keep in the periphery as the season goes on.
Yeah. All right, let's get a scoreboard check here. TJ, I know we are expecting Don Granato. I don't know if maybe there's a reason why we're not going to get him, but while we wait a few more minutes here for the coach, let's go around the league here. Pat's going to keep you up to date on what's going on in the National Hockey League.
Hey, thanks, Brian. We'll start in New York, where the Islanders and the Rangers were in action tonight. That game just going final, where the Rangers have stopped the Islanders. 4-1 is the final there. Other games ongoing include the Kraken just underway, 2.5 minutes in against the Hurricanes. There is no score. 2 minutes in Arizona, where the Coyotes and the Oilers have played to a scoreless draw so far. Early on in the second period, just 1 minute in, Cale Makar a goal for Colorado, Sonny Milano, a goal for the Ducks, Anaheim, and the Avalanche tied one apiece. Also, the Golden Knights getting 3 different goal scorers tonight. They lead Nashville 3-0 as they're about to start the third period down in Nashville. Other finals from tonight, mentioned the Canadiens will be in Buffalo on Friday. They're doubled up by the Capitals 6-3 tonight. John Carlson, a goal and an assist. Alexander Ovechkin, 3 assists in the Capital victory. Columbus shutting out Winnipeg tonight, 3-0. Elvis Merzlikins making 36 saves along the way. Red Wings doubling up the Blues, 4-2. It took a shootout and a 30-minute delay between the Devils and the Wild. Minnesota having trouble getting to the arena tonight, but they eventually get past the Devils 3-2. They have not dropped the puck yet in L.A. between the Kings and the Maple Leafs. And the last game of the night, we'll see the Sharks and the Senators drop the puck from San Jose at 10:30. Also, Big Four college basketball today, where a last-second foul shot helps Canisius defeat Coppin State 76-75 on Main Street. And in the Cancun Challenge, UB finishes in third place as Josh Mbala has a career-high 29 points. UB 106-90 victors over Illinois State, Brian.
It's a nice spot to be the night before Thanksgiving, Cancun.
Yep. This is always a fun time. We talk about the fun here. We have what is a party atmosphere, but you think about the Maui Invitational tournament in Atlantis.
Yeah.
Disney usually has a tournament. All these.
One in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
We saw Gonzaga and UCLA play there the other night, and UB obviously in Cancun. So.
And how about, you know, we talk about college basketball. How about seeing Dickie V back on the broadcast of that Gonzaga-UCLA game?
That was super cool. He comes on, and as Dave O'Brien's introducing him, then he starts to cry and, you know, just obviously emotional. Who wouldn't be? And it was emotional watching it. I luckily got a chance to meet him when I was at Brockport in college. He came to speak. He was like a featured speaker, and he could not have been nicer. He came and spoke, and then the Brockport college media, I was working for the radio station, got a chance to do interviews with him, and he was nice. He offered to take pictures. He was asking us questions, like, hey, how's the Brockport basketball team? You know, and
right.
What an enthusiasm just for life that guy's done, and so much that he's done for the Jimmy V Foundation for Raising Cancer every year. And now the fact that he's getting a treatment itself, you know, I think Dick Vitale, I know some people, they're not his favorite because he's definitely a little over the top, but how can you just not love him as a person in terms of the energy he brings? I mean, he is the voice of college basketball. Usually right. It's a play-by-play guy. It's a color guy, a former coach, who's really the voice of college basketball.
And did you see last night when they came out of a break and both Gonzaga and UCLA had custom jerseys, and there were two kids holding up the jerseys.
I saw that. That was cool.
And to your point, you know, he thanked everyone and then asked for their addresses as well.
Yeah, really cool. Okay, Don Granato is now meeting with the media. Let's take you there live.
Scott, are you at all afraid that he may get a suspension?
I haven't looked at it yet, Paul. You know, I wouldn't want him to get a suspension, obviously. But as far as afraid of it, no, I think the – not thinking about it right now, no.
Don, this morning you said the preference was to give Dustin the night off, give him time to think, get back to his game. So at the end of the first period there tonight, I mean, how difficult was it to have that conversation? What led to the decision ultimately to make the change when you did?
Well, we needed a change. It just needed to happen. Ticker came in, Dustin came in, was good. He was real good. He looked good. He looked comfortable. It took him a couple minutes. Obviously, it's tough to jump in. But he looked like himself in there, which was great after obviously not looking so much like himself in the last game. So that was definitely a positive.
I'm sure you didn't like the third period. Do you think that was maybe the result of some frustration that set in because you guys didn't get any results in the second when you were getting more opportunities and playing your game?
Yeah. You know, I guess I liked the first 10 minutes of the game of our game and the second period I thought was okay for us. So half of the game we did what we needed to do and should do. And it was the other half that was lots to clean up and work on. You know, so the third was we made some just didn't get pucks, played too much of the early period when we had opportunity to get, you know, continue what we did in the second was put pucks behind and get to, you know, put pucks to areas we could pursue. We didn't do that right away in the third. We had chances or pucks to the net when we had chance, which makes it awful challenging. I mean, it's simple. Their game plan was really simple. That's what they did from the outset. And it forces teams to defend.
Don, you guys had another 4 or 5 minute meltdown tonight that kind of ended up deciding the game. Just like, can you put your finger on just what's happening for these, you know, short little periods of time that teams are exploiting you guys?
Well, we're gonna obviously look at that, Bill, and try to figure out what to do next. But we got to keep pushing and pushing ahead. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but at the same time, we have to fight through and compete. And, you know, if it's going to change, it's going to be those core competitiveness. And obviously we can look at the film and tweak, you know, can you technically do this better? Push a guy to the outside, have a better stick on puck, you know, small details that we will absolutely look at. Look, I looked at a few just after the game that need to be better. And that will be our focus. Absolutely, Bill.
Now, when you take a look at it, I know mistakes are made in when that barrage is happening, but the last two games, is it too simple to just say you need to get a save sometimes in there just to kind of bail your guys out a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable saying, you know, never have I been comfortable as a coach trying to say it's a goaltending thing. I mean, there's things that, you know, even if at times, you know, you thought maybe that could have been a save, you still look at the things that led to that and work to improve those. And, you know, so if that's the case and it was a goal we didn't like, there's other things that we could turn our attention to that are within our control to become better at. And we have that opportunity to become better at it. So, you know, this little stretch here is exposing us to things that we need to target and become better at. And we will become better at it going through this. Unfortunately, we're going through it and we've gone through it to this point. We got to find a way to be better.
Thank you, Don.
Okay, Sabres head coach Don Granato there. That question from Paul right at the end where asked him about just, hey, is there a point where you just need a save to be made? And which, by the way, I agree with Paul's question there. And he was hesitant. He said, no, you know, like, I don't want to. Essentially, Don's like, I'm not going to throw goaltending under the bus. He goes, there's always things that lead up to the goal. Well, I will disagree with Granato there. At some point in a team sport, everybody's got to kind of chip in when your teammate maybe makes a mistake. And the Sabres have not gotten that from their goaltenders lately. 5-1, Boston. Have a great, happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Enjoy the Bills game. I'll speak with you next Friday night. Sabres and Canadiens here from KeyBank Center. With that, I want to thank our crew. TJ Luckman, our network producer. Crew here at KeyBank Center. Pat Molicaro, Jonathan Koziol, Paul Hamilton. Pre-game show hosts were Shopa the Bulldog. Game announcers Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray. Engineer is Tom Matty. I'm Brian Koziol. Thanks for listening. Again, the final, Boston 5, Buffalo 1. Enjoy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Talk to you Friday here with Buffalo and Montreal on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.